Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sparks team call for Monday, September 30th, 2013. Tonight we have a special call. It's a we're going to interview a special guest tonight. Our guest is Richard Blissbrook. Richard's a 35-year veteran of network marketing and the network marketing profession, and a former member of the board of directors for the Direct Selling Association, a senior member of the DSA Ethics Committee, and the owner of two network marketing companies. He's been the president of a network marketing company since 1986. Richard is the author of the highly acclaimed book, Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, and the four-year career, and has a passion for personal development and helping others achieve greatness. He is an expert on being successful and in business and in life. So everyone, let's welcome Richard Brook. Richard.
Hey, thank you. Honored to be here.
Thanks for being on the call tonight. I really feel humbled that you take time to help those on our team understand the tremendous opportunity that network marketing has to offer, especially our business that we work with. And we're looking forward to you sharing your insights on what it takes to be successful.
Well, I'm happy to do that. Anytime I can support an organization that's here for the long haul and represents network marketing in an honorable and professional way, I look forward to helping them any way I can.
Well, that's the best way to do it. And being involved so long, you've probably seen a lot of companies come and go and over the years, and I'm sure some not so professional people doing it. And I'm along the same page with you. I think presenting in a professional manner is the best way to do it, and especially for the long haul. So, hey, let's get started. You know, that first check, it might be $1.95, which is what mine was, or $20 or $100. It doesn't matter. But, you know, really, what's the biggest hurdle for people that are just getting started in a business like ours?
Well, Michael, I think the biggest hurdle is for people to get some clarity about why they're doing this, what they want out of it, and be as specific about that as possible, because, you know, to build a successful network marketing business, a person has to be able to encounter a fair amount of rejection. And, you know, that may be half the people you talk to, it may be 90% of the people you talk to. But, you know, if everybody said yes, then the company would just they'd run a banner ad on an internet site, or they certainly wouldn't need us. You know, what companies pay distributors about 30 to 40% or more of every dollar that comes in the door in the form of commissions, what we are paid for is moving through that rejection and finding the people who are ready to take a look at what we're doing. And so, you know, anytime you're doing something where most of the people that you talk to say, no, I'm not interested, don't bother me about that, well, that's, you know, that can be demoralizing if you're not really clear on what your motive is for building the business. So the first thing I talk to new people about is, you know, let's get some clarity about why you're doing this. And, you know, I want to make $500 a month. That's not enough. It's plenty of money, but it's not enough clarity about the reason. So my next question is, well, what are you going to do with $500 a month? Why is that so important to you? And so they might say, well, you know, I'm going to use that to pay down my credit card debt. Okay, great. So at $500 a month, how long is it going to take you to get credit card debt free? You know, well, that'll take a year. Okay. So what's it going to look like for you and feel like for you to be credit card debt-free a year from now? And how and why is that so important to you? How is that going to be more important to you than avoiding the rejection that you're going to get from people? Because it really is just a balance of motives. So when I go out to talk to people and they say no, what I'm going to be motivated to do is avoid that. And that doesn't mean I necessarily am going to quit, but I'm just going to avoid, you know, talking to people who are going to say no. It's kind of like if you're hammering nails and you keep hitting your thumb, you know, you're probably going to quit hammering nails until you figure out how not to hit your thumb. So a carpenter would never be successful if they're going to hit their thumb 9 out of 10 times and they only hit the nail once because it hurts too much. And so it hurts, too, for people to say no. And you have to have a really powerful motive, and you have to be really clear about that motive so that when people say no, what you stay present to, what you're thinking about, what you hold on to is, hey, the reason I'm doing this is being debt-free a year from now is more important than, you know, people that say no. And so you got to keep talking to people, and you got to keep inviting people. And, you know, the last distinction I want to say about that, Michael, is I think a really important distinction for people when they're new is to teach them not to try to sell people on the product or sell people on getting in business, but rather just sell people, or better yet, invite people to take a look. So I'm sure you have some great tools and great presentations on the product. Demonstration and presentations and testimonials, endorsements, scientific studies, and you have the same kind of presentation material on the opportunity. So instead of a new distributor trying to sell the product, let me tell you how great this is. It's going to do everything in the world for you. You know, this opportunity, you're going to make so much money doing this. Instead of trying to sell people, just invite them to take a look at the tools. So if it's somebody that you want to invite to take a look at the product, it just might sound like, hey, you know, are you interested enough in what this might do for you to just take a look at this video or take a look at this website? And so if we can see that our job as a new distributor is just to make the invitation and not sell people, and who we're looking for we're looking for a niche market. And the niche market is, yeah, everybody may need our product, but who wants today to look at our product? That's who we're looking for. And somebody that says no today, they might be open to looking at it tomorrow or next week. And our job is to just keep making that invitation and find the people who are willing to look today. And the people who are willing to look, we just show them the tool. So here's the tool. At the end of the tool, they either want to buy some, or they want to join, or they don't. And you know, I think people get worked up into a big sweat about, well, how am I going to sell them, and what if they say no, and how do I memorize the whole presentation, and, you know, what if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? You know, the best answer in the world is, I don't know, here's what it did for me. And just
exactly. I think you're exactly right on that, and this is just like a muscle, Richard. That the more you use it, the easier it is, and the easier it has become. And you know, people get worked up, and like you say, invite people to take a look. And if they say no, it might be later. That's okay. I agree 100%. I appreciate that. That's definitely well said advice for somebody getting started in our business. So. And, you know, you're a big proponent on training and helping people get started and everything. And, you know, this current economic climate we're in, I keep running into these people that think they need 4 or 5 more degrees that's going to get them in a different place than they currently are with the 1 or 2 degrees that they have. And I've seen people spend thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on education and expect to have something at the end. You know, from your perspective and given this economic climate, where would you put your money for the most success, you know, in anybody? It doesn't have to be that they're already currently in the business, but, you know, where would you put your money for the most success? Would it be personal development tools, or would it be spending money on just give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it really depends on what a person's going to be doing for a living. I mean, obviously, if you want to pursue a job in engineering or going to be a doctor, a lawyer, Well, then you got probably got to put your money in education. If you're going to be a plumber or electrician, you got to put your money in the trade school. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, or if you don't know what you want to do, where I would recommend people put their money is in their communication skills. And communication skills are your listening skills and your speaking skills, because, you know, in all businesses, somebody, it may not be the owner of the business and it may not be you in the business, but what makes every business work is communication. And that falls into marketing and falls into sales. And you might call it public relations, you might call it social media, you might call it, you know, feet on the streets, you know, talking to people, you might call it, you know, who's doing the actual meeting. It all falls into communication. And we're not taught very well in our school system how to communicate. We're certainly not taught how to listen, which is the most valuable skill in enrolling people in an idea that you have. Most of us have it backwards. We think the way to enroll somebody in an idea that we have is what we say to them. And so we want to make all the claims and all the promises and tell them all the stories. And, you know, some of that is important at times, but a far better way to enroll people in your idea is to ask them a few questions and listen so intently to their answers that you know exactly the next question to ask them, the answer to which will lead them further along the path of them discovering that they might want to take a look at your product. It's questions and listening as opposed to talking. Now, there's certainly a time for talking, you know, if you're leading a conference call or, you know, Michael, you get me on the call and you ask me to, you know, to address your people, I better have something to say and know how to say it. And, you know, so that's a skill. But, you know, the most valuable people in our society today are those people that have honed their leadership skills. And leadership exists in communication. It exists in an individual's ability to have an idea and be able to communicate that idea in a way to other people that other people are interested in following. And, you know, if you look at politics, what's missing in politics today? Leadership, communication. You know, all these people do are sound bites and commercials and argue. They're not leaders, they're politicians. We don't need politicians, we need leaders. You know, in business, what do we need? We need leadership. Look at the businesses that really, really flourish. They're those businesses that have leaders in them that can communicate the vision and enroll people in that vision. And so I think the best investment that all of us can make in ourselves is our own leadership skills. And the primary one is your communication skills, your ability to listen and your ability to speak, whether it's from the stage or on a conference call or on a one-on-one, in a way that people want to listen to you. And so how do you go about studying those sorts of things? Well, there's all kinds of coaches and programs and personal development programs, and the personal development itself, transformational development itself, is an important baseline for communication, because if you lack confidence or you tend to lie and exaggerate, or you know, if you talk too much and don't listen a lot, you know, that's usually a self-esteem kind of issue. You know, personal development is really important for building confidence and building self-esteem so that you have the capacity to actually listen to other people as opposed to be talking all the time. And you know when to talk, and when it's your turn to talk, and when the opportunity is there to talk, you speak with confidence and you speak with clarity. Those are all personal development paths. So, you know, the best money I've ever invested in me, I personally did not go to college because I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do for a career. And I wouldn't have gone even if I did know. I wasn't interested in school. But I've invested over $250,000 in the last 25 years in my own personal development, my own self-esteem, my confidence, and, you know, through seminars and coaches and books and tapes and programs, $250,000, that's that's a Harvard MBA.
And it pays it makes what you put into it. Those $250,000 has paid itself over probably many times over, right?
Yeah, and there's no science to it, but I think what a person can count on is, you know, whatever you do invest in yourself, you're going to earn that at least every year. So if you invest $10,000 in your own personal development and skills, you can expect to get that back every year, 100% annual return on your investment. So if you go to some seminar, or, you know, maybe it might be a company convention or a company retreat or some kind of program the company's putting on, and you invest $500 in that, I mean, you're probably going to get $5,000 a year back. I think it's at least 100% annual return on whatever you invest in you.
Excellent, excellent. That's wise advice for sure. Moving, I guess we're kind of jumbling around here. I was thinking about when we get back to getting started, and, you know, I know people keep running into this pyramid deal and understanding this, and why are so many people petrified to take any action when they hear that the pyramid deal? And what's your answer to that challenge when they do bring that up?
So. Well, when people bring up the pyramid issue with me, if they're a prospect, I ask them what exactly they mean by that. And if you want to have an entertaining project, you know, go ask 20 people what a pyramid scheme is, and you'll get a variety of answers. Just last week, I was on the street in Spokane, Washington, interviewing people, filming them. And I first asked them who the President of the United States was and who the Vice President was. I asked them who Warren Buffett was and who Bill Gates was. And some of those answers were really entertaining. And then I'd ask people about multi-level marketing and network marketing and direct selling. And most of them didn't have any idea what I was talking about. But if I asked them what a pyramid scheme was, boy, they all had answers for that. But they were all wrong as to what a pyramid scheme was. It wasn't one person who understood what a pyramid scheme was. They thought they did, and they certainly had an opinion about it. One kid told me that a pyramid scheme was when the electromagnetic forces in the world come together and conspire to erode the pyramids in Egypt, and he told me that with a straight face. And so, you know, everybody has all kinds of different answers for it. Somebody says to me, you know, is this a pyramid scheme? I said, well, I don't think so, because I don't think I'd want to be involved in that, but I don't really know what you mean by a pyramid scheme, so what do you mean by a pyramid scheme? Some people mean that it's illegal. Some people mean that it's immoral. They don't care if it's illegal. They just don't want to do anything immoral. Some people don't care if it's immoral. They'll do all the immoral things in life that you invite them to do. They just don't want to get arrested for it. So they're more concerned if it's legal or not. And other people don't care if it's immoral or illegal. They just want to know if it works. And their idea of a pyramid scheme is something that just doesn't work. So I always just like to ask people what they mean by that. And what you will find is that people have no idea what they're talking about. And when they listen to themselves, and if you just ask a few clarifying questions, when they start to mumble about what a pyramid scheme is, they'll realize they don't have any idea. And so that's how I deal with it. And it's never an issue. I have never lost a prospect, not in at least 20 years, because they thought what I did was a pyramid scheme. I've had people think what I did was a pyramid scheme, but when I asked them to explain it versus me telling them how it's not a pyramid scheme, that doesn't work, by the way. Somebody says, this is a pyramid scheme, and I said, let me tell you why it's not. That doesn't work. That's just an argument. People dig in when you do that. So when somebody has an objection, what you want to do is ask them lots of questions about it, starting with having them define it, and you'll find that most of the time it just goes away.
Well, that's excellent advice, and you know, I'm sure 20 years ago there weren't nearly the tools that we have now. I guess that's flopping back to our other question on personal development. There's so many wonderful books, so many CDs and tapes you can listen to. And I think if somebody doesn't feel or doesn't understand how our opportunity works, there's so many things that they can go and seek out. I've got a list of books on my training site that talks about the new professionals, and some Tim Sales stuff is excellent on explaining and helping you personally understand, you know, how network marketing works. And I think read enough books, you'll finally understand it.
I use the 4-year career for that too. I don't know if you've read that.
Oh yeah, and the 4-year career. Yes, I have read the 4-year career, and that is one. It's easy to read, and it really explains it well. And the audio, the one that you started out with, you know, back in the 90s. That's excellent. It really is excellent on understanding that. And that goes me brings me to the next question: is understanding the geometric growth of a business. You know, and kind of like in the charts and so forth, they show in the stock market. I talked about this on one of my calls a couple of weeks ago. When you're first getting started, so feels like you're barely moving, and then as the momentum grows, which is your geometric growth, adding more customers and distributors, organization, it expands faster and faster. And you talk about that in the 4-year career and have a excellent illustration. Can you explain a little bit how that works, a little maybe better than I could, and help us understand the importance of sticking with the business long enough to actually achieve this exponential growth?
Well, I think, you know, probably the best analogy that we all like to use is, you know, the first couple of years of building a network, you don't get paid anywhere near the hours and the effort that you put in. So you don't get paid what you're worth. You know, you might put in 20 hours a week, and if you added up your hourly rate, you might be making 10 cents an hour. But when that car goes over the hill, when you hit momentum, when the growth of geometric progression starts to kick in and take over in your organization, you have the opportunity to get paid far more than you're worth, far more than you ever put in time and effort-wise, and you have the opportunity to get paid that way for the rest of your life. And that's because of the compounding effect. And the compounding effect was simply introduced to direct sales by the California Vitamin Company in 1946, where they sat around a table and they said, you know, how can we grow this business, grow distribution a lot faster than we've been doing it? And they just shifted the paradigm by one idea. And the idea was really simple. Instead of waiting for people to advance to a sales manager position and prove themselves as a salesperson before they can actually recruit and have a territory and have a sales team, why don't we just let everybody recruit? Let everybody sell and everybody recruit, and let's not have any territories. And that simple move created a compounding effect where, you know, you get in the business and you get 4 people involved with you, and now you're earning on your efforts and you're earning on 4 people. And, you know, that's nice, but you're not earning $10,000 a month doing that. But the fantastic thing is that those 4 people each have the opportunity to get 4 people. And now there's a total of 20 of you, 16 brand new people. And you may not even know the 16 that just came in, and they can probably live anywhere in North America. And you're still not getting rich with 20 people. But when those 16 people each get their 4 people, now you have 64 new people, and you have over 80 people on your team. And now if you look at what your personal sales have to do with your income, what you do personally really doesn't matter that much, because you got over 80 people working for you. You got 80 branch offices all over North America that are working for you. And when those 64 people each get their 4 people, now you got 264 brand new offices working for you. And at some point in that process, the leadership that shows up to build their own empires, they don't care what you're doing as the founder of that sales organization. They may love and respect you. They may invite you to their conference calls and invite you to their meetings, but they're not relying on you anymore. And that's when you have true asset income, because the number of people that you have in your sales organization and the leadership that you have has grown away from you, and they don't depend on you anymore. Doesn't mean they don't want you and you don't support them, but they're going to grow whether you support them or not. And that's true asset income. And the geometric growth part of that is simply the math that goes along with compounding. You know, it's how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Same set of mathematics.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, that was an excellent explanation. Going on to the Mach 2, you talked about change and being inevitable and necessary. Everything must change, and I think you said something to the effect that everything's going to change or you're going to change, one of the way. And can you explain how this relates how can you explain it relates to what you've experienced in our profession? I guess
this is a profession where you get paid based on your leadership, based on your ability to communicate and your leadership, your ability to invite people to take a look, and your ability to listen to them and ask them the right questions, and when it's time for you to speak, to say the right things in a compelling way, and you very truly get paid what you're worth, and in the long run, you get paid way more than you're worth. And so, you know, the value of a book like Mach 2 is it helps develop your own motivation. So motivation is an art, and, you know, so most of us go through life and we get motivated accidentally. Maybe we see a car that we really all of a sudden want to buy, and so we get motivated to earn the money to buy it. Or, you know, we want to win a sports contest, and we get really motivated to win a sports contest. But we don't really learn the art of doing it intentionally. And you can probably, if you just look at your life, look at the times that you have been accidentally or spontaneously, powerfully motivated to do something. Maybe it's to win your spouse over, win a sports event, you know, win some kind of intellectual contest at school, earn enough money to buy something you really wanted. Look how powerfully you moved in the world. Look how you overcame obstacles. Look how hard you worked. Look how creative you got. Look how enthusiastic you were. That's what you get paid for in our business, that kind of motivation. So if you're easily deterred, if you're easily set back on your heels, if you're easily depressed, if you're easily thrown off track, you're not going to get paid much in our business. But if your vision and your motivation is so powerful that you not only blow through all the obstacles, but you inspire other people to blow through the obstacles, you're going to get paid a king's ransom here. And Mach 2, it teaches you how to do that. It teaches you how to do it on purpose, because we weren't taught that in school. We were taught how to memorize stuff and pass tests, but we weren't taught how to motivate ourselves and keep ourselves motivated in a way that would blow through obstacles. So it is clearly a handbook for building personal wealth based on how motivated you get and keep yourself.
Excellent. You know, you're absolutely right. I get people all the time telling me, well, I can't work for myself because if I worked from home, I wouldn't get up in the morning, you know. Well, sometimes I don't have to get up in the morning, but I might work till midnight. So it all works out in the end. But self-motivation, I'm more determined now than I ever was. It's just amazing, and it just keeps building. I don't think it'll ever slow down.
Yeah, well, you just have a clear vision. People that have a clear vision, they're motivated. They get things done, and doesn't matter the setback, doesn't matter the obstacle, doesn't matter the problem that they don't know the answer to, they figure it out. And, you know, you're just, Michael, you're clearly motivated. You have a great vision. You communicate it powerfully. People follow you. You get paid a lot of money to do that. And that's what the opportunity for everybody on this call is to do. And what a beautiful system where somebody who's doing it, it wants nothing more than to teach you how to do it. I mean, how many places in life can you go into real estate, or can you go into investments and somebody who is making millions of dollars doing it wants nothing more than to teach you everything they know.
Nowhere. I mean, really nowhere in practice they're going to show you that type of, the apprentice, the master and apprentice. That just doesn't exist no more. It's a dog-eat-dog world in traditional work environment. You got that big fat butt on the ladder above you. You can't get around him, and the guy you got below you is dragging you down. It seems like an awful place to be. I don't know if I'd be very good at it myself.
We have a beautiful system, and what people would recognize the mentoring opportunity and the wealth building the opportunity they have by latching on to somebody like you that's doing it and wants nothing more than to teach them and coach them how to do it and has a system where actually the more of us that are successful, the more successful we're all going to be, even in a particular town. The more distributors we have that are successful, the more successful we're all going to be. The toughest time in a new city building a business is when you're the only one. It's hard to get people to believe you when you're the only one, but they come down Thursday night and there's 50 of you in the room. Well, it's hard to not believe you. And there's not any system that I know of that has that kind of mentorship opportunity and where competition actually enhances the opportunity as opposed to cuts back on it.
Well, yeah, it's I totally agree that having the competition, even if you've got somebody that's not in your group, that's in your town, getting that name out there is going to help everybody all the way around, because it's not like like you said, you get into a town where nobody's heard of it. It's very difficult. It's hard. Some of these people that start out, some of these brand new businesses, network marketing businesses, that nobody's even heard of the product before. It just sounds very, very difficult. Luckily, our company's got a little bit of a brand recognition where it's not so hard now. But even 13 years ago when I got started, what is this? I never heard of it. And I'm like, really? I mean, it's been around for 30 years before that. So,
yeah. Well, I was actually a competitor of yours 30 years ago, Michael. I sold a gasoline additive and an oil additive, and that was where I built my sales organization originally in network marketing. And you guys were fierce competitors then, but what you didn't have that you have now is you have massive brand name recognition and credibility.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is so much easier to show people the credibility of the product and the credibility of the company and success of the company. And gosh, all people don't have to worry about the efficacy of the product. All they have to do is pay attention and do what you tell them to do.
Exactly. Do those things that you said, invite people. You believe it or not, there are some people that have not heard of it, but you invite them and show them what we have, and they'll eventually say yes, or if they don't say yes, you move on. And it's just that simple. Speaking of our company and company events, I'm sure this is kind of a no-brainer, but I keep hearing excuses why it's too far away, it's a wrong time of year, I can't commit. We've got our big event in May. I can't commit right now, and I just don't understand. Can you tell us what your thoughts are on a company participating in these company events?
Well, Michael, if you were somebody I was talking to in my group and you said you didn't know if you could commit to go to the event, what I would ask you is, okay, remind me, Michael, why are you doing this? And so you would tell me whatever your reason is, and I would ask you a few more questions to clarify that. And then I would ask you a couple of setup questions. So one of them might be, I might ask you, Michael, if I told you something that was like one of my top five truths about being successful in this business, if I told you emphatically one of my top five truths, would you believe me? then I think you would probably say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, Michael, here's one of my top five truths. This thing that you want, whether it's to send your kids to college or buy a new car or pay off your debts or buy a house or travel the world or whatever it is, whatever you tell me it is, why you're doing this, I would tell you that you are not going to accomplish that unless you make a commitment to regularly, not just the event in May, but every event, every significant corporate and local event. It is part of our culture. It's part of our past. It's not optional. There isn't anybody in the history of the company that has ever achieved anything of substance that hasn't gone to all of them. I'd pull out the magazine and say, let's look at all these people. Look at all these people in all these positions of leadership in the company. I can tell you one thing about every one of those people. They went to everything. There isn't anybody that has accomplished their goals in network marketing in this company without going to all the events. It just, the two just go hand in hand. So what there is for you to decide is not, Michael, whether or not it's convenient or you can afford it or you want to commit to it. What there is for you to decide is whether or not you're serious about sending your kids to college, whether you're serious about paying off the debts, whether you're serious about buying that car. And I guess ultimately what you get to revisit when I ask you whether or not you believe me, you get maybe a second chance to answer that question. Do you believe me?
Yeah, that's very good. Very good. Because it's this truth. It's probably the top one or two things that's got me where I am today is just going to those events. And even when I couldn't afford it, I went because I can afford it now. That's the reason I can. But,
well, you're certainly not going to get your people to go to the event unless you go to the event. And, you know, you're not going to get nearly as motivated sitting at home as you would if you went to the event. And you're going to get some fabulous ideas at the event. And it's just a have to, hand in hand. Whatever you want, you got to go to the event.
Yep, exactly. Well, Richard, thanks for all you've done for network marketing and all the tools and your knowledge that you spread across the globe and made our profession even more professional over the years. Your passion and leadership has, I'm sure, inspired millions to live and achieve those dreams in a lifestyle that they would have not had otherwise. And I just hope that we can meet face-to-face one day so I can shake your hand.
I look forward to that, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Any closing last thoughts of anything that you had on your mind that you want to share before we end our program?
Yeah, I'll just say one thing. You know, there's about 2,000 companies out there that represent our company, our profession, and that doesn't even count all the internet schemes and get-rich-quick opportunities and all you have to do is pay $50 a month and you make $5,000 a month. And all the fly-by-night companies, you know, there's about 2,000 companies that are even the slightest bit legitimate. There's another 2,000 shiny objects out there. And everybody on this call has the opportunity to be involved with a bellwether company in our profession, a company that is proven over 30 years that they do what they say and they mean what they say and they're here for the long haul and product integrity is everything and brand recognition is everything and longevity is everything. And this is a company you can stake your reputation on. And nothing is more important than our reputation. And so if you hit your reputation to the wrong wagon in network marketing, then you can end up in a really bad train wreck. And most people that I've done network marketing for 10, 20, or 30 years, they have one of those train wrecks about every 5 years. So you're in a great, phenomenal place with a company that has proven its longevity and its integrity and its intent. And with Michael, you got a great leader who's proven he knows what he's doing. This is a deadlock cinch for any of you that follow direction.
Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate the kind words. And again, I appreciate you getting on the call with that, everyone. Appreciate everybody. Tell Richard good evening and thank you. Good night, everyone. I appreciate it.
Good night.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Michael.
Good night, Richard.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.